Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The decision that is made, as long as it doesn't contrary to the Word of God, I'm not saying make wrong decisions on purpose, but let's say it's with a situation like we should sell our home, we shouldn't sell our home, whatever it is. God is looking for the intent of the heart. We are trying as often as possible to make decisions, not to be afraid to sit back, but to make God's decision. I believe that I could make every decision that doesn't break the Word of God on purpose in my life and get to the throne of God and have Him still say, well done, good and faithful servant.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, proud to be an APU, soon-to-be alum, doing all my coursework online. And you know, APU works very diligently to make sure they can meet the needs of students where they are online. There are 10 undergraduate degrees, there are 10 master's degrees, 5 credential programs, 4 certificates, even 1 authorization program that you can do online through APU. And if you're thinking about right now, you're kind of getting ready to make your New Year's resolutions, thinking about maybe January is the time you want to get going on a program, APU has a program online for you that you should really check it out. Go to homeward.com, hit the APU logo link, or just apu.edu. And now here's Dr. Jim Burns with the second part of our continuing conversation with Adam Stattmiller here on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. I am Jim Burns and very happy to be with you today. Adam Stattmiller is with us. It's a continuing conversation. We're talking about leading your kids to a sustainable faith, one of the great desires of all of our hearts. Adam has served in ministry for more than 15 years. Currently, he oversees the Discipleship Training Center and the 30-something ministry at North Coast Calvary Chapel in Carlsbad, California. It's a great church not too far from here at the Homeward Studios. He makes his home in the San Diego, California area, suffering there with his wife and 2 children. Adam, great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
It's great to be with you. You know, I loved our conversation prior, and one of the phrases that you used in your brand new book, it's called Give Your Kids the Keys, Navigating Your Child to a Personal and Sustainable Faith, is spiritual arson. You say parents need to practice being good spiritual arsonists. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? I think the word arson is kind of a bad thing, but you're saying it's a good thing.
Yeah, that came to me when I was sitting there at Pete's, you know, writing the book, and I liked it because, you know, God, he portrays himself as a consuming fire. And, you know, we live out here in California, you know, we had those fires a couple years ago, and there's some right now going on in Arizona. It's tragic. And when you listen to the radio, you always, you know, we kind of listen with bated breath as we, you know, you're listening. The key word you're listening for is containment. And if they can, if you hear, you know, anything below 70%, 80% containment, you're not feeling so good. And I think the devil has the same type of thing that he wants to do with us. He wants to make sure that he can contain our faith. If he can keep it contained 70 to 80% of the time, you know, so you go to your camp, so you go to your conference, you have your, you know, a couple big moments, that's fine. But he doesn't want it to ever get beyond the spiritual places. You know, in our last conversation, the last time we spoke, you know, I talked about, you know, the dinner table. We're so good at doing prayer at the dinner table. We're so good at praying before we go on a trip. We're so good at bedtime. I mean, we have so much victory at bedtime. It's great. Church, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. But how do we set fire to the rest of our lives? How do we bring Christ into the, you know, I mentioned in our last broadcast, the net cleaning moments of life, going back to Peter, cleaning his nets on the side of the shore, and then all of a sudden Christ comes, meets him in a common everyday moment, but invites him to something deeper, invites him to a challenge. And so a lot of it has to do with challenging our children in the everyday. And, you know, here's a great, you know, a tool. My daughter, we go to public school. We can't afford private school. And, you know, my wife probably does, you know, she's pretty clear and doesn't have the makeup, you know, to be a homeschool mom. Dyslexic, has a hard time teaching. And I can't do it and work my job. So we really feel like God's called us to be missionaries to the public school system, which we love. And God's doing amazing, for all your parents that are part of that, God's doing amazing things there. And, you know, I drop my daughter off to school and you know, I send her in and I say, hey, we're going to go out to get some coffee afterwards and some cookies or milk or whatever. And tell me what God does on this campus today. Tell me what you see. Tell me what you see God doing. Tell me what you hear God hearing, you know, what you hear with your spiritual eyes and your ears. And basically saying to your children, I believe that you can hear from God like Samuel heard from God. He led a nation as a child. Like David heard from God. He heard that led a nation as a child. You send them in there, and then when she gets home, we go and we spend time. Not every day. A few times, you know. But just let her know that, hey, be aware. Be on the lookout. God's in the moment. And that's one thing Jesus was always aware of. He's always aware of God in the moment. And so that is what it is. It's teaching parents to be just more aware, you know, of that in the moment.
Well, the parents are more aware, and then allowing the kids to become more aware, because they're not going to think about it if you don't sometimes bring it up.
Yeah, and you know you're going to, you'll make that transition when they start bringing up Jesus to you in the unspiritual places of life. And I would say, you know, all those places are spiritual. But, I was driving the other day, and my 3.5-year-old, because sometimes you wonder, you know, hey, you wrote a book. Are you really doing all this stuff? You know, you write all your best stuff, you know what I mean? But you're not doing it all the time.
Sure.
And we were driving I was taking the girls out for some cookies and stuff at the local coffee house. We go, that's our thing. And on the way down the hill, Lucy said, hey, can we pray to God right now? And, you know, I thought, you know, what about, you know, we're just driving, you know what I mean? And I thought, yeah, we can. Why don't you pray? And so we prayed in the car, and she just brought it up on her own. So, and I think that's where we want to get to.
Yeah, and I think when you have those kinds of experiences when your kids are younger, that oftentimes that'll hold out. Because again, when your kids get to be teens, there's going to be a time where they're going to, you know, move from dependence on you and, you know, sometimes an excitement for the Lord, where they'll begin to, you know, kind of try out their own faith and try out, you know, experiences and whatnot. The more you have the kind of experiences you're talking about when the kids are younger, the easier it is. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a breeze in the teenage years, but the easier it is. You know, another thing, when you were talking about the public school, and it reminded me that in your book, Give Your Kids the Keys, one of the other things that you said, you know, the scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and you're a big proponent of using nature to teach your kids about faith.
Well, I think God's a big proponent of using nature to speak. I mean, you know, there's a term, natural revelation, that you'll learn if you go to seminary, if you're a student. The first way that we know, you know, God is through creation. It's called natural revelation. Romans 1:20 says that from the beginning of time, since the beginning of creation, God has made himself known, his invisible qualities, his divine nature through what can be seen. And the psalmist knew this. Jesus knew this. Jesus is constantly talking about a mountain. But the problem is, and Romans 1 goes on to say, is when people start making creation God and they start worshiping creation, I think we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater with this, because we're so fearful about the New Age movement and all these different things that, you know, we're not using the shepherding discipleship crook of nature to disciple our children. You know, Jesus, you know, looks at mountains and he talks about God's strength. He looks about water and he talks about being filled, completely filled, and never having to drink again. He says that to a woman at a well. You know, he looks at creation, and you have to realize Romans 1:20 says that everything that God has created with his paintbrush has a backstory to it. When God wanted to paint a picture of himself, to display his power, his glory, his invisible qualities, he created the universe. He created us. And within his creation, it can always be seen a breath, a whisper of who he is. And as parents, and I found that, you know, especially with a 2-year-old, this is where, you know, with Lucy, she started experiencing God in creation. We'd look at a sunset and I'd say, hey, look, you know, that's a beautiful sunset. God created it. But not only did he create it, it shows us a little bit that God is powerful. He's big. He's warm, you know. And so it was funny that when she finally brought it up to me, the last time she said it, she says, Dad, look at that sunset. And when she was a 3-year-old, I said, yeah, what do you like about it? She goes, because God created it and God is in it. And so obviously there's a balance there, but I think it's the balance to strike is the one the psalmist struck, not the one that the New Age movement talks about.
Yeah, no, that's very good. Nature, obviously, one of them. Another aspect is the word. You know, so oftentimes as parents, we expect the church to, you know, teach the word to our kids.
Yeah.
And yet you've been talking about being a discipler of your kids.
Yeah.
And you talk a lot in your book about helping kids experience the Word of God, plant the Word of God in their life.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, let me just, a couple things to start with that. I think we've really focused on teaching the Word in a way that brings moralism. And by moralism, it means do's and don'ts, follow the law. A friend of mine, Britt Merrick, he's a pastor of Reality Churches. We were having dinner and he said, you know, we've told our kids that Jesus died on the cross, rose again. And then we've said, go out and share your toys and be good boys and girls. And that's as far as the challenge has gone. I think in the Word of God, we come to know God in a way that hopefully translates to the net cleaning moments, the real life that we live in. I'm not trying to teach my kids every single decision to make. And I think we've kind of erred on, okay, when you're in this situation, make this decision. When you're in this, this is the decision to make. I want to teach my kids to know God, because I know that that moment will probably come, like it comes with everybody, there will be someone who to get into the car and the kid's been drinking or whatever that moment is, that big scary moment that we all have in our head that we know, and we want to train our kid exactly how to act in that moment. What I'm trying to train them to do as a discipler and using the Word of God is to know the voice of God, especially through His Word in their hearts. So that in that moment, they don't think, what did Dad say to do here? But all of a sudden, they can tune into what is God, the seed of God's Word being planted in my heart, telling me to do. You know, Britt Merrick, whose daughter Daisy has cancer, I don't know if you know that story, she's cancer-free at the moment, huge story. He said, when we got the news, you know, the five-year-old Daisy had passed out on the kindergarten playground. He said, we didn't need someone to come to us and tell us scriptural verses. We didn't need someone to tell us how good God was and all these things that you would want. He said, the reason we didn't need it is because it was already there. We had steeped ourselves in the Word of God. We had sown it into our hearts, and everything we needed for that moment was already there. And as parents, I think that's what we're doing. We're sharing the Word of God in a way that makes difference on the playing field of life, not just in a Bible story or whatever, but where it changes the apex of decision making is change because of the seed of God's Word in their heart, and then the Holy Spirit speaking His voice to them in that moment.
Great, great input. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, I want to ask you, because I think somebody's thinking this right now. They're saying, fine, this sounds great, but Adam's a pastor and I'm not. Yeah. And so I'm going through tougher times, or I'm struggling with this or that. And, you know, how do I make this real to my kids? You know, this seems to be so natural to him. He's so articulate about it. But maybe there's a parent out there, or two, or 10, or thousands,
yeah,
who, you know, who are struggling with just the fact of trying to help their kids have this kind of an experience. So we'll be right back, and we'll talk more about that. Roger?
Yeah, well, it's a good conversation that we're having today. I just want to jump in here briefly and remind people that you're listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Our in-studio guest is Adam Stattmiller, who is the pastor to 30s and 40s. He describes his group as a youth group for 30 and 40-year-olds, but he's the pastor of the 30 and 40-year-old group at North Coast Calvary Chapel in Carlsbad, California. He's the author of, that's the Switchfoot Church, in case you were wondering, that's where those guys come from. Anyway, he's the author of a book called Give Your Kids the Keys. And we're talking about leading your kids to a sustainable faith, which is more and more of a concern for parents now than ever before, as so many kids are leaving the church after they graduate from high school, and they're not always coming back around. Adam has some principles for you to share with your kids, especially when they're young. Adam and his wife have kids who are in elementary school, and they've got some practical principles. You can learn more about that book, Give Your Kids the Keys. If you go to homeward.com, if you're not there already, we have a link to that site today on our website as well. And now let's get right back into it. Here's the conclusion of Jim's conversation with Adam Stattmiller here on Homeward.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today, and actually a challenging conversation for all of us, but it can be a comforting conversation too, because we don't have to be perfect. Now, right before the break, Adam, I kind of played the devil's advocate, because I think some of our listeners are saying, it's amazing that you're having these kinds of conversations with your kids. A lot of our listeners, frankly, let's be honest, didn't. I mean, they're just trying to get past Friday. And
me too.
And so they're not having some of these conversations. Is it ever too late to come back and really disciple our kids? And also, some of these people are not, you know, they're not pastors. They're, you know, they've struggled, or they've got some stories behind their stories.
Yeah, well, we know with God, it's never too late. I mean, Joel 2:25 says God, I think it's 2:20, 2:25, restores the years the locust have eaten. And that's one of our family's key verses, that He has just restored so much. So the nature of redemption is that it pays for lost things. So there's always hope. That's why we're Christians, is for the hope. So it's never too late. The other thing is, you know, for listeners to know, you know, I think as having pastors' kids is a huge challenge. Maybe that's why it's on my radar so, because I'm just trying not to force the faith down their throat.
Sure.
I mean, one of the things is for me is to make sure that I want my children to own their faith. And so I'm regularly, you know, asking my kids, you know, I'm not trying to talk them out of it, but I ask my 8-year-old, you know, do you think you'll be a Christian when you get to middle school? Yeah, of course. Why? Why would you be a Christian? You know, I want to challenge their faith. And to tell your listeners, look, you know, by the grace of God, 23 years ago, I woke up in a gutter in Mexico, a drug addict, and my friend carried me home, and I got sober the next day after, you know, crying out to God. And that's my story, and that's where I come from. So there's no magical pastor school that made this happen. I guess you can't really go somewhere that you haven't been. So the key is where are you going? And David talks about this. It's your life will change when you make Jesus preeminent for you as a parent. And he's got to be the number one thing. And so even for my parenting, it is all an overflow. I want my parenting to be an overflow of my heart. And it's, once again, it just goes back to common things. Am I spending time with Jesus in the morning? You know, am I more excited about him than my morning coffee, which I'm not always, you know what I mean? Do I start with email? It's these little things. When God becomes preeminent, David says, I've set the Lord always before me. And then Jesus does it. You don't do it, but it's just being attentive to that. And then letting God work out your story. He has made you, he gave you your kids for a reason because you're the perfect parent for them. And so you don't need to be, you know, Jim Burns or Dobson or somebody else. You need to be you and be the best of you. And that's the hope of the gospel. He's called you. He has sent you into this. It's just taking it seriously.
It's actually a good word because I think a lot of us feel like somebody else is always doing it better. Haddon Robinson said, the Bible does not provide a map of life, only a compass.
Yeah.
I want you to talk about it, and you mentioned it before, but it was just really intriguing to me. Talk about how you help your kids hear the voice of God. You talked about it, you know, in the public school situation. How do we proactively go about helping our kids, you know, hear that voice of God?
Yeah, testing every word we think we hear. You know, it is. You know, I think in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Gosh, I'm going to butcher all my verses, but it says test everything. You know. And so what I'm regularly asking my children is I'm letting them know, asking them, what do you hear God saying? And let me just give you an example. When my daughter was 5 years old, I got a picture Bible because I believe that God's word, if the pictures are accurate, it's God's story. You know, and so I would send her in. She had a problem on the playground. I would send her in with her picture Bible and say, go look through your picture Bible. And then when you're done, come back out and tell me what God said. Because I want them seeking God for their life. They don't need me to seek God for their life, although I do that. They do need me to do that, actually, but for their decisions. She would come out and we would talk about it. You know, another instance, we went to Mexico on a home build, which, you know, one of those challenging things is, you know, we went down there to do that. And she had some, this is in the book, and I'll just share it quickly. She had this money. She didn't know what to do with it. She goes, Dad, what should I do with this money? And I said, you know, why don't you go in and listen to God in your heart and see what he says? She went in and came out, this is as a five-year-old, and says, I think God wants me to give the money to somebody in Mexico tomorrow. So she handed me the money. I said, why are you handing it to me? He told you to give it to him. Well, I won't know who to give it to. Well, I'll be there beside you. Let's work on it. Went down to Mexico that day, all day. Dad, what do you think about that person? What do you think? Well, you know, actually, that guy's on our build team, so probably not him. you know what I mean? On and on.
Right.
And she kept listening and listening and listening. We're leaving Mexico. We're 2 cars from the border, and I'm worrying. God, you didn't show up. You didn't give her anybody. She's been holding this thing in her pocket. By this time, it's just a sweaty, nasty dollar, you know, $5 bill or $10 bill, whatever it was. And this lady comes up and she goes right to my daughter's window and she's got a baby and she's disheveled, knocks on the daughter's window. And when do they knock on the 5-year-old's window? It's always, you know, the older adult. Rolls down the window and the gal says, please. My daughter hands her the $10 bill and she says, vaya con Dios, the lady says to us, and we drive across the border. And God showed up. And it was like all day, like me just saying to my kid, hey, you listen to God. What does God say? And coaching along the way. And you know what? You're going to get it wrong a lot.
Yeah. Well, you even have a phrase. I underlined it in your book. Be willing to make godly wrong decisions.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. I think that if, you know, we all make wrong decisions, right? And I think the decision that is made, as long as it doesn't contrary to the word of God, I'm not saying make wrong decisions on purpose. But let's say it's with a situation like we should sell our home, we shouldn't sell our home, whatever it is. God is looking for the intent of the heart. And so we are trying as often as possible to make decisions, not to be afraid to sit back, but to make God's decision. I believe that I could make every decision that doesn't break the word of God on purpose in my life and get to the throne of God and have him still say, well done, good and faithful service. If those decisions were made, it's best me knowing with a heart of love, with trying to be humble. Every decision, it's not really so much the decision, because we know God works all things together for good, But it is the heart behind the decision. Jesus even talks about this with giving, all these different things. He comes back, he says, yeah, they did this, but it's the heart behind it. Yeah, this has happened, but it's the heart behind it. And so what I'm trying to do is we're trying to parent a heart. I'm not trying to parent moralism. I'm not trying to tell them what to happen when somebody breaks out a six-pack, you know, at a party or whatever. Granted, I mean, we'll have those conversations. But I want to parent a heart. I want a soft heart that knows what the poor feel like, that has seen their home. That's why we took our kids. We spent our money, vacation money, to go down to Chile on this, you know, to go work with disaster victims. It creates a heart. And so as a parent, I would just say the one thing that Jesus is always looking for is soft hearts. And that's what we're trying to really do. And this, I'll tell you what, this culture is a culture that hardens hearts. And so if you can just focus on things that'll soften your child's heart, whether it be great writings, whether it be experiences, whatever it is, visits to, you know, work with, you know, different, you know, homes or feed the home, whatever. I think that's the way to go, because it's soft hearts that God honors. And
you know, it is interesting, because I've often heard people say that, you know, you could have 52 weeks of Sunday school, and I'm a proponent of Sunday school.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If they have 2 weeks or two times of going on a mission trip, they may be really more open to God's spirit because they're being put in disequilibrium. And we as parents can do that. And we don't have to go to Chile. I mean, we can. There's some place around the corner where we can do it. I mean, obviously, those kinds of trips are incredible. I just had a trip to Asia and I took my 25-year-old daughter. But, you know, it was remarkable how many spiritual conversations we had when we were looking for some food.
Because your radar's on.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, God seems to show up there because you're more open to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is a great thing. We don't have much time left.
Okay.
But I want to give you a quote that I got out of your book, and I'd like you to talk about it because I kind of think it sums up a little bit about what we're talking about. It's a quote from your book, and you quoted a man named John Shedd who said, "A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for."
Yeah.
I love that quote.
Yeah, me too.
Then I pray that as the parents of the next generation, we will teach our children to sail. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is once again putting our kids out there and allowing them to be in places that I'm not comfortable with sometimes, and taking them to places I'm not comfortable with, and believe, you know, if God's called us to let them actually be Christians. I think that we're telling kids how to be Christians. We're not letting them be Christians. And if you have a football, this is the analogy that I see. It would be like taking a kid that you want to be in the NFL, and you get box seats, and he gets to stand on the sidelines. You take him to all the NFL games. He meets all the players. He hears all the things, but he never goes to Pop Warner. He never plays high school football. He never plays college football. And then when he's 24 years old, you suit him up in a quarterback's outfit and you put him on the field. That's what I think we're doing as Christian parents. That's what I see. And that's why I think 70% of kids, whatever the number is, are leaving because they know about Jesus, but they don't know him. They maybe have never experienced forgiveness. They've never prayed for the sick. They've never really given sacrificially to build someone's home. This is what it means to be a Christian. I'm not going to allow my children to be raised with a title of Christian without doing the things that the Christians have done for the last 2,000 years, and that is self-sacrificial living that seeks to know Jesus in an intimate way. And so, I mean, that's the message of the book. And I, you know, it's day by day, and I screw up a lot and whatever, but I just trust Jesus. And, you know, there's a few moments last year where it really happened, and you know, I don't have teenagers yet, but I'm believing, like Joshua and Caleb, for those years as well, that they're full of promise.
And they are full of promise, and it's not that we have to be perfect parents, but we have to be parents who are open to helping our kids make those right and wise decisions.
Yeah.
Appreciate your comments, Steve. Good stuff.
Thanks, Jim.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with pastor and author Adam Stattmiller here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about helping your kids, leading them to a sustainable faith. For more information on Adam's book, you can go to homeward.com. Dr. Jim Burns has written extensively on this as well. His book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, has a whole section on that. And then also the book that Dr. Jim Burns has written about, you know, faith and family. And Faith Conversations for Families is a great resource to have. And many people are contacting us throughout the week asking for information on that. If you want to order any of Jim's books, you can order them anywhere, but you can also order them through Homeward. And when you order through Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We are completely listener-supported. Your tax-deductible donations are the lifeblood financially of this ministry. You can give that gift online at homeward.com or write to P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.